Hi everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Retro Raw Rundown. My name is Kenny McIntosh. This is episode 204 on the network. I'm joined by Sandra.
And this...
Is it?
Yeah, because remember we did 203 and 204 together?
We did 202 and 203 together.
I thought we did 203 and 204 together.
I think we did 202 and 203.
Oh.
I'm going back to check. Oh, no, you're right. It's because I put 202 and 203 instead of 203 and 204. So it is 205, and I need to edit something on Podomatic. I will do that while we're talking. 205, the worst... Well, 205, the worst is not the first time those two things have been put together. But
205, not quite live, but holy shit, is this terrible, Kenny.
This is the worst.
I've been so sick this week, and you know what I didn't want to do while I was so sick?
Watch this.
Watch this episode of Raw. I think it nearly killed me. I think it extended my illness by days.
This episode of Raw got Vince Russo his head writer gig.
See, it just gets worse and worse.
That's how bad this episode was. That's who they handed the book to.
Vic Venom from Livewire.
Vic Venom from Livewire. Yeah, this is just such a shit episode. Really terrible. So this isn't going to be a long podcast. It's going to be a very short episode of Retro Raw Rundown because I don't really want to spend that much time talking about it. I'm in the middle of a 12-hour workday, and this is not how I want to spend part of it. I enjoy talking to Sandra. I just don't want to talk about the... You know, WrestleMania 2 was in three different cities. It was like, you know, Chicago, New York, L.A. This is Muncie, Indiana, Kuwait, Johannesburg, and
it's barely even in Kuwait, though. I don't... We'll get to that.
I feel bad for the fans of Muncie, Indiana, who got two things.
I mean, they had the rest of a Raw taping, too, didn't they? Like, multiple episodes?
I'm going to try and figure this out, because... Well, because this was the go-home, so... Indiana?
Which I didn't realize until, like, the end of the show. I rarely live tweet when I'm watching Retro Raw, but I needed something to keep me awake, right? And so I was on Twitter as I was watching Retro Raw, because I try to watch it and pay attention, even when it's shit. I'm like, no, I need to watch this because the whole thing is I've never seen it before, so I'm supposed to react to it. So I take notes, like, sometimes they're extensive, sometimes they're not so extensive. This week, not so extensive, not much to say other than I am half asleep. But so I was on Twitter during Retro Raw. It wasn't until the end of the episode I realized and tweeted out, you know what the worst thing about this episode of Retro Raw is? It's the go home to a pay-per-view, and it's this shit. It doesn't sell the pay-per-view at all.
I mean, there's parts of it that try to, but it's just terrible.
There are parts of it that try to, maybe. I'll add the qualifier, maybe.
Every segment that is on the show is part of one of the matches on Sunday. The issue is that, like, I very rarely say this, but I got a headache from how quickly they cut to other things.
Yeah, it's very, like, it's disorienting. It really, but really
apparently,
is.
This Muncie, Indiana, they got last week's Raw, the full show, and then they got these matches.
I don't even remember what happened. Last week's was okay, though.
Yeah, so they got, like, the, you know, Davey Boy and Owen against the Godwins, Austin and Billy Gunn, the Headbanger squash, Shamrock's thing, Vader's thing, and then Steve Austin Mankind. And then after that, they get these matches. Anyway.
I mean, I would say the Indiana matches were the best ones on the show. Also, it didn't help that commentary was cutting out half the time. What was this technical difficulty? Like, did commentary just not work or something? Because on the original broadcast, was it this bad?
I don't know why it was so bad. Because when I was watching at this point, I was watching Livewire because I didn't have Sky yet, so
right.
I never saw this episode of Raw. I always heard about how bad it was, and I'd seen clips of some of the stuff, but I'd never seen the... So what I don't... we'll get into it. Okay, so the show kicks off. Vince and Jim Cornette are in America, which actually we'd love to have seen more of them together, to be honest. They're kind of good together. But
Yeah. I was actually pretty excited when it opened up and Vince and Jim Cornette were on commentary. And then I heard Jim Ross and Honky Tonk Man was like, why are there two commentary teams? I'm very confused.
Well, you know, they're in South Africa. That's good. You know, international commentary. I get all that. That's cool. Then we're in Kuwait, but we don't really know why we're in Kuwait. Well, we're in Kuwait because Bret Hart's in Kuwait. But to make things even more confusing, the reason we don't see anything else from Kuwait is because everyone who's in Kuwait with Bret Hart are the people who are in
in Muncie, Indiana.
Muncie, Indiana. So you can't have them on the show. So it's fucked. Kick off the show with the Godwins against Legion of Doom. This match made me realize that, like, I do love the Godwins theme tune. Well, not this one.
It's a good theme tune. The Sound Alike is not a great theme tune. I mean, it's fine. Like, if you didn't know Don't Go Messing With the Country Boy, this tune would probably be fine. It would be something you just didn't really think about.
It would be fine. If you know Don't Go Messing With the Country Boy, my God.
It is no Don't Go Messing With the Country Boy.
This is like, you know, being in bed with Britney Spears and then waking up with Mae Young.
Yeah.
Of music.
Accurate.
So, with that said,
I think we've seen the Legion of Doom get slopped like 10 times now. I haven't counted, but I mean, we had 4 replays on the last episode alone, plus the original time that it happened. Plus, they keep replaying it constantly.
Plus, the Godwins are dog shit in the ring.
They are terrible. I mean, even like Henry every once in a while is okay. Like, maybe it's just that he's next to Phineas, and I'm like, you're amazing, but Phineas is so bad.
If anyone's ever seen the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, there's like the grandmother who's like got a belly and works in the shop. That looks like that's what I imagine she looked like at 35.
I mean, that movie put me to sleep just like the Godwins do. So there you are.
So the Godwins ended up getting the victory over LOD because Owen Hart and Bulldog came out and Bulldog nailed Animal with the belt in the head, and then the Godwins won and the Owen and Bulldog laughed, and that was kind of the build to this tag title match. I mean, I guess it makes sense. It was fine. It's fine as an opening segment. I enjoyed hearing JR and Vince and Cornette together. Like I say, they were good.
Yeah, I think Vince and Cornette were really good together. I would like to hear more of them on commentary. I'm guessing I won't get that, though.
Nope. So I thought the opening segment was fine. Like, if this was just the start of the show, and the Gordons are terrible, fair enough. They don't play Don't Go Mess My Country Boy. They play the shit remake. I'm annoyed about it. Nobody else has. I get it. But, you know, the angle in itself makes sense.
But it's a standard Godwins thing, and it's kind of like, oh, yeah, great. Legion of Doom loses going into their tag title match, but also it makes sense because Bulldog and Owen caused them to lose because Bulldog and Owen are little shitheads, right? So
that's fine. And so we start off and we're like, oh, maybe this episode will be okay. And then we go to South Africa.
Oh, boy. This made me never want to go to South Africa. Like, ever.
I mean, no offense to anyone who listens. I mean, I say no offense. This is really offensive. I have real trouble with the South African accent in terms of, like, I just don't really like it. Like,
really?
I don't like it. I don't.
Well, I've known some lovely people from South Africa. I actually think the accent's kind of cute.
I had to leave a party because a guy kept talking the South African accent and annoying me so much. But, you know, we've all got our qualms. My accent's terrible, so, you know, I'm not saying that mine is anything better. But these fans are fucking happy to see, you know, WWF in town, and I'm sure they would be because WWF only go there once a year or once. I don't even know if they'd been to South Africa before.
I don't know. I was a little, like, I felt bad for the crowd because it's not like WWE goes to South Africa all that often, and this is what they got. Like, this is what they got. And it's funny because, like, as I'm watching it without commentary, right? So it is dull as dog shit. Like, I think dog shit might be more interesting than some of these matches without commentary.
What I don't understand, though, is so we go to South Africa, and it's very clear from the signs that they love Bret Hart and The Undertaker. That's the two people they love. And they don't get to see either of them live.
No, they do not.
But the thing I don't understand is, so Honky Tonk Man and JR are on commentary. And then at the end, we find that they are actually there during that match. But as soon as the match begins with Hunter and Jesse James, nothing.
Well, the thing is, I mean, that's why at the beginning it flashed the, you know, this is presented in its original form, in, you know, the most complete form that we can present it to you because of original production difficulties or technical difficulties or whatever. And that kept coming up along the bottom of the screen. In the bits where there weren't commentary. So I'm guessing their microphones weren't working or something, or it didn't record. So there were the segments, because it seemed like whenever they cut back to commentary and it was actually there, was when they were doing, like, side by side, like with a screen, like double picture kind of thing, or some of the commentary must not have recorded or broadcast properly or something. Like, that must be what happened. And I meant to Google it beforehand and didn't. So I don't actually know what happened. But yeah, there were technical difficulties and the commentary just drops out for most of the South Africa stuff. So on one hand, it's kind of nice because it's like, oh, like the unfortunate thing is there's no commentary and you're like, this is terrible. I really need commentary for these matches, which makes you feel even worse for the live crowd who has to watch it without commentary completely, right? But I mean, when you're live, you know, you can kind of entertain yourself a little bit and you're there and you're like, hey, wrestling, yay. When you're watching it on TV with no commentary, it's so dull. And then when the commentary comes back, it's the Honky Tonk Man. And that doesn't help anything. I mean, JR can only save so much.
He can only work so many miracles. But, like, we have this terrible match, right? Mm-hmm. Which, in full disclosure, I lasted about 4 minutes into this match. And then I skipped to the end.
Did you really?
Because why am I going to watch a match in silence?
There was commentary for part of it.
Have I had a brain seizure? I didn't hear any commentary.
Well, you skipped to the end of the match.
What? I didn't hear there was no commentary.
Right. No, it comes back partway through.
I'm not going to sit for 15 fucking minutes and be like, oh, I wondered at which point during this pre-Road Dogg and Hunter Hearst Helmsley match commentary might return with the Honky Tonk Man. I'm going to skip that because I just...
And I don't think anyone can blame you. No, commentary did come back mid-match so that Honky Tonk Man can complain about Jesse Jammies' attitude, because I'm calling him Jesse Jammies. It has two M's. It's Jesse Jammies, whatever. So his attitude and say that, you know, his protege is going to take care of Jesse Jammies this Sunday, because he's talking up the fact, he's like, I found a protege, he's great, on Sunday, my protege is going to take care of this asshole, so apparently it's going to be Jesse Jammies versus who we know is Rockabilly, and I still don't understand, and I'm so confused after last week, and I just don't know why this is such a big deal, because that's all Honky Tonk Man has to say, basically, during this match, is like, you know, oh, my protege is going to take care of this guy because he doesn't like Jesse James' attitude for breaking the guitar. Like, he's still upset about the heirloom guitar. I don't know if he said heirloom again, but I just remember that. So.
That was funny.
That was funny. So.
Heirloom.
Heirloom. Sorry, I'm still sick, everyone. I'm still coughing. Apologies if that gets
this
in the way.
This show didn't make any better.
This did not make it. I'm telling you, I think this prolonged my illness by days. I might be better by now if I didn't have to watch this Raw a couple days ago. But, no, commentary does come back in the middle to, like, kind of play up that angle, right? So that on Sunday, we're going to see the Honky Tonk Man's protege. How long has it been since the Honky Tonk Man has been talking about a protege? I mean, it's been months, so...
This is about November, December.
Yeah, so we're waiting for this protege reveal, and it better be fucking great, right? Because his protege is just going to squash Jesse James, and it's going to be this amazing thing, according to the Honky Tonk Man. Now, I don't believe the Honky Tonk Man, because I think he's full of shite, but... Whatever. I mean, there's a point where the Honky Tonk Man tries to talk to the camera, but the technical difficulties are happening, so you can't hear him. And I mean, even the camera work, right? Like, even the production when you go to South Africa, obviously it's not going to be HD. It's not going to be, like, prime live event quality. Like, nowadays, when WWE presents things like Beast in the East, the quality is still good. I mean, it's a lower production value, but it's still, you know, it's clear, it's crisp. You can see what's happening. Even the cameras that they had in South Africa were much lower quality than the normal cameras they used to film Raw, because this looked like a public access broadcast.
Yep, it did. And in the end, China distracted the referee and Honky Tonk Man grabbed Jesse James' leg, punched him, which to me looked like he punched him in the face, and then Jesse James held his gut. Don't really know what that means. And Hunter gave him a pedigree and put us out of our misery, which we thought until Jesse James got the mic and said that he wants Honky Tonk Man right now. Honky Tonk Man gets on the ring apron and decides to get his tits out.
Yeah.
Briefly.
Don't do that, Honky Tonk Man. Spare us, please. Spare us your tits. We don't want to see them.
No anglaise. No.
I actually have written down, no, Honky Tonk Man, don't take off your clothes, please. I'm begging you.
Now, this match here, Hunter Hearst Helmsley versus Jesse James on Raw, lasted longer than the Fatal 4-Way Elimination match for the Women's Championship at this year's WrestleMania.
Baffling. Absolutely baffling.
Not my last statistic that's baffling. Basically, Honky Tonk Man, who's he going to choose? Maybe the guy
that
beat him up last
week. I mean, three
out
of the four of those
about.
Women in that match were much better wrestlers than Hunter Hearst Helmsley and Jesse James were at this point in time.
This is true. And I think if I was watching this, if I was watching this now, like, if I was an adult, if I was an adult back in 1997, it's very clear who his protege is. It's the other guy that beat him up that he's not talking about. Like, you know.
See, I don't even think it's necessarily that clear because...
Well, no, wait a minute. 2 weeks ago, Jesse James, you know, smashed his guitar.
Yeah.
Then a week ago, he offered the gig to Billy Gunn. But he's only angry at Jesse James.
Well, Jesse James is in the ring and Billy Gunn is not, so that's kind of how I took that, but...
Well, it was... I mean, and...
I mean, what you're saying does make sense, now that I think about it. Why wouldn't he be angrier at Billy Gunn? Apparently they had some backstage dealings. I'm actually sort of... Like, remember when Jesse James was going to debut and I was like, who could care? And then I got kind of like, no, I care a lot. Like, I want to see Jesse James. Now I'm kind of like, I just want to see Rockabilly because I don't think I've ever actually seen it. I've only heard about it. So I'm sort of like morbidly curious as to how bad it is.
We will be covering it later on this week on Patreon.
Patreon.com. Yeah, it's /inside the ropes. Patreon.com/inside the ropes. I talked over you.
The pay-per-view's quite fun. It's not bad.
I hope so. I need something fun to convince you that this Retro Raw deal is... There was a bit in the middle of the match that was actually really funny because it basically the camera angle just makes it look like Jesse Jammies just straight up grabs Hunter's dick. Like, I mean, he cups it and grabs on it. He's going for a suplex or something, but the camera's like under Hunter's crotch and it looks real funny to me. Also, China with her hair down, I kind of like it.
Yeah, she looks good. We then had like some weird thing where like we see Rocky Maivia backstage, but like they're talking. Well, no, was this not the bit we see a clip of Brett?
Yeah, it was the promo we saw last week. It was the same thing about like what's right and what's wrong and Americans. You could hear him a little bit, I think, like, but it was really garbled for some reason, which makes me wonder why they didn't just splice in the audio from last week.
Yeah, but it's a baffling show from start to finish. We also then get the clip of like the baby faces arriving in South Africa and being greeted by some South African dancing and stuff and tribes.
Yeah, like apparently then, Rocky Maivia is meeting people and doing South African things, I guess.
You're the Intercontinental Champion, you got to get your stuff done. But then, so Rocky Maivia is in the back and then he's coming out for his match here and they're like, yeah, so he's getting in the ring and Jim Ross is saying to Honky Tonk Man, Rocky Maivia and Ahmed Johnson had to contend with the Nation of Domination at the bus today. But we don't see any clips of it. And they're like, yeah, they were at the bus and like the Nation of Domination got involved. Got involved in what?
I don't know.
Were they on the bus? Were they at the bus? Were they dressed up as black women in the tribe? So we got like a bit of information, but here's the clincher.
That would actually be quite clever if the Nation of Domination dressed up as the tribal South Africans greeting the Intercontinental Champion and they were like, hey, motherfucker, we're going to kill you.
I'd like it.
That would have been a better show.
But this gave us Savio Vega against Rocky Maivia in a non-title match. This match lasted longer than Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho's US title match at WrestleMania.
Now, I don't know how long this match actually was, but I'm going to guess 12.7 years. Because I feel like in the span of this match, I watched my baby nephew grow up, go to school, maybe get his first girlfriend. Like, I feel like all of those things could have happened in the span of this match because, oh my goodness, it just kept going. How long was it actually?
17 minutes and 35 seconds.
Why in the ever-loving hell would you have Rocky Maivia versus Savio Vega for over 17 minutes of anyone's life?
King of the Ring 95, I had to watch four of that fucker's matches. Why is Savio Vega... He must have, like, pics of Vince fucking a goat. He has something on Vince.
I just don't know. I mean, Ahmed Johnson gave a promo before the match, which was baffling, because Ahmed Johnson's giving a promo backstage. You have the terrible South Africa audio. I mean, you can hear it, sort of, but the audio from South Africa is always really terrible. But he has his hands over his mouth, so he's talking.
And it's Ahmed Johnson.
And it's Ahmed Johnson, so of course it's going to be unintelligible to begin with. So when his hands are like over his mouth, and then he's talking into his 2x4, it's not going to help at all. Like, The only thing I really caught was, like, he walks it like he's like, I walk it like I talk it, and he's going to go get the nation or something. I don't really know.
Yeah, who gives a fuck?
Cornette asked if they have hooked on Ebonics that Ahmed can take, and I was like, JR's like, that's not funny. And I was like, it is a little funny, also super racist.
Very racist.
Very racist.
But Savio ends up escaping Rocky Maivia's crap shoulder breaker and getting a, you know, rolls him up and yanks the tights, gets the win. Nation Domination, like, obviously, like we say, attack Rocky Maivia, and then Ahmed makes the save and smacks them with, like, the 2x4. What I love about Ahmed Johnson's attacks is that they look like he's actually trying to physically hurt people.
Well, I think he is trying to actually physically hurt people. Listen to the Ahmed Johnson interview over on Patreon.
Well, if you've done everything you want to do in life, if you've had your children, if you've, you know, completed a degree, if you've seen the Egyptian pyramids, and then you've ran out of things in your life to do, at that point, after you then rewatch some other stuff that you've liked, then check out Ahmed Johnson's interview.
I actually sort of love the Ahmed Johnson interview. They're hilariously terrible. Like, I mean, not terrible interviews, but just, he's so...
They are terrible. 3 hours!
3 hours of Ahmed Johnson. Oh, and he loves the Scottish warrior clansmen so much, and it's so funny, you guys.
So we then get all the pyro for hour two of Raw's War.
Like, why did Savio have to counter the shoulder breaker and make the match go on longer?
I know. But the thing was, when this finished and, like, you know, the pyro starts for hour two, in my head I was going, oh my god, we're only halfway through this episode?
Oh, I was like, no way is this... Because, like, cards on the table, like I said, I've been sick, so I only made it through halfway through Savio Vega versus Rocky Maivia the first time I tried to watch this show. I couldn't do it all in one sitting. It just wasn't going to happen. And then... Rocky versus Savio got done finally with that roll up. I was like, that is the most glorious roll up I've ever seen. I mean, it was shit, but, like, thankfully this match is over. And then the pyro happens, and I was like, fuck, another hour. Another hour of this. This is not good.
So we kick off actually with something okay. We get shown clips last week of Steve Austin demanding from Gorilla Monsoon that he gets the match with Bret Hart in your house. Austin comes out for an interview with Vince in the ring, and what just struck me about this is, even at the beginning of it, is Austin, like, squares up to Vince a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, that's what guys used to be able to do, is they were the stars, the McMahons were the just, you know, the people that were there, but, like, you don't get that now, you know, like, Seth Rollins can't come out and, like, you know, tower over Stephanie or whatever.
Like, no, you just don't get it. She has to tower over everyone and then slap them and then make them look like pussies because Stephanie McMahon.
Yep. So it's... But I
get it more on Lucha Underground with Dario Cueto. Like, people can manipulate him a little bit more because, like, he wants violence and his whole thing is he wants violence, right? So whatever's going to get him the most violence is what he wants to do. And so there are people in the temple that he employs that sometimes get one up on Dario Cueto. That does not happen on Raw currently.
Also, he's an actor and understands things.
Yeah, that too.
So, Steve Austin has an interview with Vince, and, you know, like, Austin talks about Brett, and about, like, you know, Brett might say he's been screwed by Vince McMahon and Gorilla Monsoon, but you haven't been screwed yet because you've not been screwed by Stone Cold Steve Austin. Great line. And, which was interesting again because you look at it and we're in April and we're already talking about who he's been screwed by and we've not reached the screw job yet. So Austin said, you know, win, lose, or draw, it doesn't matter because he's going to beat the living hell out of Bret Hart. And Austin kind of was just kind of very, this, I'm trying to think how to word this. Austin felt like in this promo that he was trying to be more realistic than the program was letting him be. If that makes sense. Like, the program's, like, just supposed to be like WrestleMania rematch, da 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 da. And then, like, Austin's trying to, like, find a way to make this match seem bigger than it is.
And which I think Austin has been doing constantly in all of his feuds that we've seen, in all of his interviews that we've seen. Like, Stone Cold Steve Austin is always ramping it up to try and make everything super personal, right? That's why he attacks everybody. And that's why he's always trying to make a name for himself. And that seems to be, like, kind of the impetus of the Stone Cold Steve Austin deal, is that he's like, no, I'm going to be outrageous, and I'm going to make a name for myself, and I'm going to make myself be noticed, because no one in the World Wrestling Federation is noticing me. And his whole thing is he's been held down for so long, right? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I know that he's supposed to be a quote-unquote babyface right now. He's not a babyface. He's just Steve Austin. Like, he's not a babyface at all. Like, he's doing the whole, like, you know, whether you cheer me or boo me thing, like, you know, Shawn Michaels or, like, John Cena will go on to do constantly, right? But, you know, he's like, one thing you can't deny is that I'm the baddest SOB. Like, the crowd is behind him, but he's not a face here, because he's still talking about how he's going to screw Brett. He hasn't changed at all.
Mm-hmm. No, he's not. So, it's, I mean, I did like the lines that he was saying about, trying to say Brett's copying him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, like, so, like, Brett's got the skull design. Like, Brett's had that for years.
Yeah.
But, like, I love the kind of, like, absurdity of him being, like,
well, that's another heel Austin thing to me, is, like, Austin's always claiming stuff like that, right? Like, people are trying to imitate him, or he's always making up facts, like, obviously I won the Royal Rumble. You know, there's no replay rule in the WWF.
But, like, I always feel like if you look at a lot of babyfaces in wrestling, even, like, Hulk Hogan or...
Well, wasn't Hulk Hogan kind of a dick as a babyface too? Like, didn't he cheat all the time?
Yeah, but because people loved him, you know, he could do that. You know, it's like, there's a weird thing with babyfaces where, like, there's different types of babyfaces.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
So, if Hulk Hogan did the, you know, I'll go back to my favorite thing from my kid. When SummerSlam 89, when it's him and Brutus Beefcake against Macho Man and Zeus, which is the most fake tan and glitter of any four men that are not homosexuals that's ever happened in the history of the world. But, like, Hogan used a brick that was in a purse because he had to defeat Zeus, because Zeus was the monster that was threatening America and everything that was good. So, like, if he cheated, he cheated for the greater good. And I think that what's happening here, I guess the attempt, is that Steve Austin is trying to get under the skin of this guy who, you know, seems to have turned his back on American fans now. And because, like, he makes a point, Brett makes a point when he does the promo of, you know, saying that, like, you know, he talks about the German fans and the British fans and all the different fans, you know, mm-hmm. every fans but the Americans are the ones that he cares about. And I guess Austin is just kind of the voice of that by default. Because he
is. Kind of. Like, now he's... Well, and I mean, Bret Hart did call out Steve Austin specifically, right? Like, said, like, that's what Americans do. They're terrible, like Steve Austin. I don't remember the exact wording. But it's interesting because, especially on an episode like this, which is broadcast from both America and South Africa, and strangely Kuwait for some reason. Even when they aired the promo last week from Bret Hart, didn't they say that he was in South Africa?
Yeah, I think he was, actually. He then moved to...
So why is he giving the exact same promo in Kuwait?
Sondra, I don't know. I'm just, I'm annoyed at this episode. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
It's so bad.
Terrible.
But, I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin is kind of a bright, shining spot in the midst of all this doom and gloom, because he is very good, and I love his interviews, and I love his intensity. And even though I maintain he is not a babyface, he is a guy that you can get behind, even though he's still kind of a cretin of a human.
But then, is he a cretin of a human? Like, has he done anything that's been a cretin of a human since WrestleMania, when he won people's respect?
No, that's true. He hasn't. He just hasn't done anything to really redeem himself either, I guess.
But then, isn't that the weird thing, though? Because really, like, if you meet someone and you think they're an absolute arsehole, right, and then, like, they do something where they kind of, like, save the day or something, you don't want them to immediately change the type of person that they are.
No, I'm glad he hasn't changed who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm glad. I'm actually really like this continuity of character.
But you know what's interesting?
I just maintain
is, like,
he is not a proper babyface.
What to me is kind of intriguing about it is, like, you obviously, I don't mean this in a patronizing way, if it sounds it. But like, obviously, your main WWE viewing is 2010 to 2017.
Mm-hmm.
When they've really been terrible at putting baby faces together.
Whereas WWE here, has no proper baby faces, except Sami Zayn and Bayley.
Yeah, but like, whereas here, what they've just done is go, everybody wants to get behind this guy. Let's put him in a scenario where he is a valiant fighting guy. And then the people turn and love him. And that's kind of
really
it.
I'm just really curious who the people in South Africa right now, like say South Africa had actually been treated to a decent show.
Right. Okay. I'll stretch to that.
All right. Who should be cheered in Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Bret Hart?
Well, that's where it's interesting when we get to shows outside of the US. Like the thing that's weird is that One Night Only, which is the show in September of 1997 in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bret on that show was against The Undertaker, and Bret is like so phenomenally cheered over him. It's unreal.
See, that's because, so interesting.
But the thing with that is like Austin had just got injured, so Austin wasn't on that show.
Oh, okay.
So you don't really get to see, that would have been the only show where you would have got to see how the UK fans would have reacted to Austin.
Because that's something I would really love to see, is put Bret Hart and Steve Austin together in front of like a UK crowd or a Canadian crowd. A Canadian crowd is going to cheer Bret, but a UK crowd is, I think, the most interesting sample because Bret's not from the United Kingdom, but he's still a babyface there, so... I don't know. It's kind of fascinating. And I'm the wrong kind of American for this story to be like, yeah, cheer Steve Austin because America.
Yeah. What you will find through the next 6 months is that what you're about to watch take place with Bret Hart and everybody else, like, you couldn't do it at any other time with any other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it does not make any sense. But within this world, at this time, where, you know, like, over the summer, they're able to do Raws that, like, alternate between Canada and the US every week for, like, 6 weeks.
See, and that sounds kind of intriguing. A lot more intriguing than this show.
So there's this kind of bubble of time where this all was, like, you know, just so interesting. And, you know, luckily we're getting to that, not this dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
We got the Sultan Who You Love against Goldust. This was 13 minutes of utter shite.
This is when I realized that this episode is essentially just a Shotgun Saturday Night rematch show. Because, was it episode 1 of Shotgun Saturday Night we saw Sultan versus Goldust? Episode 1 or 2, I can't remember which. But we definitely also saw Rocky Maivia versus Savio Vega on Shotgun Saturday Night right after Savio Vega joined the Nation of Domination. It might have been before and after, because I think it was like retroactively he joined the Nation or something. And then the main event is Crush versus Ahmed Johnson, which I know was on episode 1 of Shotgun Saturday Night. So this big Raw from South Africa is essentially like all that shit we saw on Shotgun Saturday. I mean, at least Shotgun Saturday Night had nightclub waiters who looked baffled, and they were kind of amusing.
Well, here's the other thing about this show, right? Because I've not taken notes down for this. I don't give a fuck. Goldust
looks like a kitty. That's one of my only notes.
I liked Goldust's new face paint. I thought it was good. Good as in it at least made me laugh. Something made me laugh, finally.
He looks like a kitty.
he looks like a kitty. And then we get this, like, I don't know why. I can't remember what match things happened, so I'm just going to talk about things that happened on the show. I don't give a fuck when they happened. WWF didn't give a fuck when they put this together, so I'm not going to give a fuck how I'm covering it. I'm drinking Budweiser right now, and I never drink Budweiser.
Oh,
and I'm drinking
man,
Budweiser.
You've sunk to that?
Listen, it was Budweiser or, like, a soft drink, and I needed alcohol to cover this.
Yeah.
So the Sultan is dog shit. Sorry. And without Bob Backlund...
He is. I love him, but he is absolute dog shit. Like, he's hilariously dog shit, but he's dog shit.
Yeah. But then, you know, this Hunter and China run in, and, you know, they all beat up Goldust, and nobody comes to help him, because apparently he's gay. And then...
But he's not, though, Kenny. He told us he wasn't.
Oh, yeah, he's not gay. Yay!
So you can cheer him, because he's not...
Yeah, oh, okay.
He's not that. Good. You know what I mean? Oh, for fuck's sake, this storyline again.
He's not one of those.
Right.
Oh,
I hate 1997 so much sometimes.
But you're morbidly curious to continue. That's
the key. I kind of am.
But like, isn't there a point, right? Just to very briefly, because who the fuck wants to talk about this? Isn't there part of you that kind of like is happy that like now some people make some references and you go, now I get that reference?
No, absolutely. Or when I can make Mark Miro references to you at WrestleMania and you just look at me like you beam with pride. The look on your face was just so precious.
A Mark Miro reference. So two shit things they did in this show. Well, they were shit but made me laugh. At one point, towards the beginning of the show, they were like, there was a period where they had like five things they were showing that were coming tonight, right? But there was no commentary over it.
Right.
So you did, so like, Steve Austin in a hut somewhere. The back of a woman's butt cheeks.
That's the baffling thing. You keep seeing these half-nude women. Well, not nude, but like they're in bikinis or something.
So it's Sable, Sunny, and Marlena, and it's like, tonight. And then you get a clip of Coliseum video seeing them, and that's it.
Yep.
You don't get anything. So, like, is that what we were getting? It's like, tune in later on where we're going to show you the exact same photos of these women, but with the Coliseum video logo. And then there was another thing where, because I was skipping through, again, I didn't watch the whole Goldust Sultan thing. I watched the first, like, 6 minutes, and then I skipped a couple of minutes past.
How long was this match? Because I don't have, like, anything written down except for that Bret Hart was talking here about Steve Austin being a bully, a tyrant, and a liar. And then later, Triple H and China come to attack Goldust, and then the Iron Sheik and Sultan break a flagpole beating up Goldust. I don't remember anything else about this match other than him looking like a kitty, which I also have written down.
This went 13 minutes.
Why? Okay, go on.
Then we had Mankind and Vader beating the Headbangers. Again, who cares? But like, there was a point in one of the matches, whatever one it was, I was skipping stuff, right, obviously. And as I skipped back, I just saw a thing across the screen that said, Sunday Night Heat. And I was like, why am I seeing like the WWF television show Sunday Night Heat in like erotic format with bedsheets surrounding it? And I was like, this is weird. So I skip it back like 10 seconds and it's like, Pacific Blue, and then like two like USA original series. It's like Sunday Night Heat.
Yep.
So when WWF got Sunday Night Heat in 98, they just like copied it from this. Okay. Cool.
I desperately want La Femme Nikita to show up on Raw one day.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
According to Vince McMahon, Rita Wilson is very hot. He interviewed her, don't you know?
I'm sure he did. Anyway, we go back to South Africa one last time. Thank fuck.
So, okay, when Bret Hart is in Kuwait for some reason.
Yeah.
And my question about this is, why is Bret Hart constantly where Raw is not the past few weeks? Because last week on Raw, they said Bret Hart was in South Africa, and he gave this exact same promo. And then this week, they're like, we're in South Africa, Bret Hart is in Kuwait. What?
Do you know why? The reason is they decide. You got to bear in mind when they decided to do the live Raws or to do tour Raws every week. They decided this after all these international tours had been put together.
Mm-hmm.
So like everything had already been done, and like Bret is the big selling point of all the international tours, so he has to be on them. So they just had all these shows where he wasn't on.
But, like, why wouldn't they just air footage of him from South Africa and say that he's in South Africa, even if he's in Kuwait right then? Because, obviously, like, that's another thing, confusing thing about the format of this show is at the beginning, especially you have Vince and Jim Cornette, and then you have JR and the Honky Tonk Man in South Africa, and all throughout the show, and I don't have other specific examples because I'm sure I have them written down at some point, but I don't know where. But they're interrupting each other and, like, talking to each other on commentary. So we're meant to believe that Raw is happening in Muncie, Indiana, at the same time that Raw is happening in Johannesburg, South Africa. Like, do they not know how time zones work? Is South Africa having a show in the middle of the night? What the fuck?
It was very strange.
Because they do. They talk to each other and interrupt each other from time to time. It's very weird, which makes me wonder even more about these technical difficulties and why they're a thing and why they couldn't re-record.
The show in South Africa was taped on like the 10th, and the Raw one stuff was on the 7th. So this is the even more baffling thing. They had days to put this together.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, all of these technical difficulties where, like, production didn't work or something. Why couldn't they have re-recorded in studio? Because clearly the commentary for Raw is being re-recorded or, like, broadcast live. Isn't that how they did it? Like, they actually did commentary live. But, or they, like, re-recorded some stuff. I don't know. But they clearly had time to fix these issues. I've actually just put my head in my hands because I'm frustrated.
We need to move on. I need to get through to the end of this. Let's just get there. So we go back to South Africa after Mankind Vader beat the Headbangers for the sort of final part of the show. Ross and the Honky Tonk Man are talking, and then the lights start flickering, and Undertaker speaks over the PA system promoting the pay-per-view match. And it's like, the WWF champion. Now, I'm sure that he was there, and he probably wrestled, you know, on the show.
But we won't know because he didn't show up for this.
Like, just put him in the ring for a promo.
Have him teleport in or something. Like, he just constantly is giving these, like, addresses creatures of the night from the Titantron, making it look like he can't be bothered to show up, which just furthers my point about
you give the Undertaker shit for, you give the Undertaker the shit when he basically is Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, but Bray Wyatt actually teleports and shows up sometimes.
So does Undertaker here.
He wasn't here.
No, but he was there. They just didn't show him.
Well, they should have shown him.
But that's not his fault.
No.
If he wasn't there, you can't treat him like 2015 Undertaker in 1997. that's like unfair. That's like almost, that's like, I don't know, that's like meeting, you know, a football player when he's 50 and being like, why can't you do what I saw you do on TV the other day? 20 years ago. Main event time. I use that term loosely.
Yeah.
Ahmed Johnson versus Crush. This was called in the Wrestling Observer newsletter a worst match of the year candidate.
Can I say something about Mosh and Mankind?
Sure.
So Mosh spits liquid in Mankind's eyes, and that apparently causes blindness. So, oh my goodness, Mankind puts the mandible claw on Vader because blindness or whatever. How corrosive can a liquid be if it's in someone's mouth first?
It was mist.
Oh. Is mist, like, completely devastating to eyes but won't eat the inside of your mouth?
I think so. I don't know. I don't know, Sandra. Why are you asking me questions about this show?
Because I wrote them down.
Oh, God, I hate this show so much. Why did I make you do Metro Raw?
I don't know. This was your fault. This was your idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm calling an audible. This is the last Retro Raw rundown of all time. Thanks for listening. No, Ahmed Johnson versus Crush. Pile of dog shit. Ahmed Johnson is terrible. Crush is worse, which I don't know how that's possible. And in the end, Ahmed gets the roll-up victory, because that's how you beat people. And then after the match, Farouk gets on the mic, says that Ahmed Johnson's got a charcoal butt.
Yep, he does say that.
And then he challenges Ahmed and said, if he can whoop Savio, I love it, he goes, if you can whoop Savio, and then he pauses and goes, Vega? Oh, you don't mean the other three Savios in the roster?
No, just Savio Vega.
Crush, and then Farouk, he would relinquish the entire Nation of Domination, which almost means like he's handing the Nation of Domination to Ahmed Johnson, but he's not. That's his idea.
Also, my question about this, didn't Ahmed last week or the week before, I don't remember which episode because we did them together so they're blending, but didn't Ahmed Johnson say, if I can beat one of you clean, then the Nation has to disband, and that was Ahmed's challenge?
Probably.
I think he did. I'm pretty sure that happened. And so now Farouk is saying, you know, I don't care if you're in South Africa, North Africa, or Timbuktu, the Nation of Domination is going to get rid of you. So he rhymes, and that was cute. But now he's basically issuing the same challenge to Ahmed, but a harder challenge, and acting like it's his idea. And... like, at this point, I was like, isn't that seriously what Ahmed asked him to do the other week? Like, exactly? Have I gone into a coma? Is time falling in on itself?
Well, you know, like, sometimes, right? Like, you'll ask somebody to do something, they go, no. But then if you can, like, plant it in their heads that they want to then do it, then you've won.
So Ahmed has won a mental battle because now Farouk is asking Ahmed to do what Ahmed wanted to do in the first place?
Yes.
Because he beat Crush.
Yeah.
Okay. Why did they show the Coliseum video bikini ladies? That was apparently from the Slammies because it said Slammies on the wall. We never actually watched the Slammies.
We have to do that next year.
Yeah. But...
Because, well, that was my point. What was it supposed to be? Because at the beginning of the show, we saw pictures of them being like, tonight, but we never had any, like, voiceover to tell us what we were getting tonight. And then we just got pictures of them with the Coliseum video logo, and that was it.
I mean, it wasn't exactly pictures. I mean, they were walking, but yeah.
I know, like, but words are hard.
Words are hard, I know. And, like, apparently there was a bikini contest at the Slammies or something.
There was.
So, that's a thing. At this point, I wrote down, there's a Slammy Awards thing in the background, so I guess it's from the Slammies that Kenny and I forgot to watch. We should have just done that instead of this show, for fuck's sake. Why didn't we just watch the Slammies instead?
Mm-hmm.
Also, I don't want to go without mentioning the Commandant, who is back, and I love him.
So I'm sorry, Stu Bennett, Wade Barrett, just put a tweet out there about the tour next week, and he's like, my Inside the Ropes tour next week, no holds barred thoughts on Nexus, The Core, and then he's put in the brackets after The Core a little face with like a medical mask over its mouth.
He's the greatest. I love him.
Yeah.
If you live in the UK, go see this man. He's hilarious.
He's very funny. So
I love his Spice Girls video.
He's just put a new video up.
Oh, did he? So, oh, yeah, I need to watch it.
So we're gonna get Ahmed versus The Nation at some point soon.
Is he going to whoop their asses? Like, the problem with Retro Raw is that I know some of what happens in future, and I know that The Nation doesn't get disbanded. So I know that he apparently doesn't kick all of their butts.
The thing is, all he said was, you need to whoop our butts. That doesn't mean he needs to win. She needs to whoop their butts.
That's true. The stipulation was very unclear there, Farouk.
Mm-hmm. But we are going to get added to the pay-per-view, Savio Vega versus Rocky Maivia, which as much as it was one of the worst experiences I've had, it does make logical sense that Savio Vega won a non-title, so he gets a title shot. I get it.
I'm weeping openly about this.
This Raw is a thumbs down. Like, it cannot get any more thumbs down. The Ahmed Johnson Crush main event got -2 stars in the Observer.
Deserved more than that. Like, minus more than that. Although, I don't know. Rocky versus Savio was so bad. What did that get?
Rocky versus Savio. Oh my god, it got 2.5 stars.
How did it get 2.5 stars? I feel like it aged me enough to qualify for Medicare, which would be helpful because I need to go to the doctor, so it would be nice to have some decent insurance.
Just come to the doctors when you come over here later on in the year.
I should, actually.
There was a story also in the Observer that week about Sid. The story on him is that he had supposedly had a herniated disc in his back. And the reason that he handled it so badly on the Raw last week is because they didn't know about it. Sid had left a voicemail message at the office over the weekend of, like, the 5th and 6th of April.
Like, hey, my back's fucked, and I'm the master, and I'm the ruler. I love to imagine Sid's voicemails.
Oh, me too.
Can you imagine what they sound like?
But he left the message at the weekend when nobody's there, and then everybody's away to Raw. And then he didn't think to call anyone at the building to let them know, so he just didn't show up.
Ah.
They finally spoke to Vince, they don't know how long he's going to be out. There's a lot of skepticism as to the legitimacy of it, especially with Shawn Michaels doing it recently. Apparently, like, Sid was supposed to put Brett over at the New House pay-per-view originally, and since Brett had put him over 3 times before, so the skepticism is like, did he not want to do the job to Brett or whatever? And then the other note is that
he really wished him following in Shawn Michaels' footsteps, maybe.
And speaking of Shawn Michaels, apparently the reason WrestleMania did so poorly on pay-per-view is that they'd spent a year building Brett and Shawn, and then 5 weeks before the show, we're no longer doing Brett versus Shawn.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I mean, I would say, like, I'm glad we got Steve Austin versus Bret Hart instead, because obviously, like, we got that match. That match was so good. And I'm way more into Steve Austin versus Bret Hart than I was into Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart, but that might just have to do with Shawn Michaels, you know?
True. Sandra, where's your thumb for this one?
I feel like I'd rather cut my thumb off than watch this show again.
I will never watch this show again in my life.
No, me neither. Not happening. Not at all. It's terrible. The worst.
If you send us $50 on Patreon to cover this, I'll just refund you.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Like, you know when Raw was really dire, and I don't remember what years exactly, but
2014,
like 2014, watching this, I was like, this must be what Robert and Kenny felt like, but I feel like this is actually worse.
Yep. It was shite. It was utter shite.
Taker had better be better than this. Also, it's called Revenge of the Taker. What the fuck?
Because it was supposed to be Undertaker's Revenge on Vader.
See, Vader just is fucking up all these pay-per-view names. In Your House, It's Time. It's Psycho Sid Time.
Sandra, Twitter, whereabouts are you?
Find me on Twitter at SandraRuthRW. Find Kenny on Twitter at KennyMC1985. Follow Inside the Ropes at Inside_the Ropes. And to hear us talk about In Your House Revenge of the Taker, amongst other things, find us on Patreon, patreon.com/InsideTheRopes. Lots of bonus content there, lots of different levels of content. We're going to have another interview going up tonight. We're going to have more VIP specials. We're going to get back on track recording a bunch of the VIP specials that people have recorded. I've been sick for like a week and a half, so things got derailed.
I go on tour next week, so yeah, great timing.
Kenny goes on tour next week, so we promise we're going to get to these things. There have been difficulties, but it's going to happen.
We will get there. Also, listen to Inside the Ropes TAF Card, the new episode. There is somebody who's back to say hello, and he is back.
I'm so excited. On a regular basis.
From Sandra and me, we don't want to do Retro Raw anymore after this episode, but luckily I know it does get better, so we are keeping doing it. Thank you for listening. I'm really sorry that this podcast has been so terrible. It's just the show was so bad. It sucked my love of wrestling away.
We didn't have a lot to work with here.
Bye, everyone. Don't watch this episode ever again.
Don't watch it. If you haven't watched it already and you, like, listen to this first and then you watch it after, just don't watch this episode. We love you too much for that. Bye. Yeah.